Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to a Sunday Night Baseball Chase Thomas podcast edition of the pod. I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined, as I am every single Sunday night, by the great Stacey Gatsoulias of Locked On Yankees. Stacey, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. You were a little concerned over the weekend about our recording because Mother Nature potentially had other plans for recording time. But as it stands right now, things are good, right?
Yes. Yes. Henri was a little bit more to the east, and even though we did get a lot of rain, there wasn't a lot of wind. So where I live, we have power lines below the ground, so my immediate neighborhood is perfectly fine. But of course, the main source of our power is on poles. Sometimes you get idiots driving in the rain crashing into those poles and knocking out the power for 6 hours. We've had that happen. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a tree branch will fall and then we're without power for 3 weeks. So it's really, that's why I was worried. I was more worried about that than anything. And thank goodness that hasn't happened yet.
There you go. Yeah. So I guess it's not happening in the South at all. Like the weather's been fine. Like, is this just entirely a Northeast thing? I should be more up to date on this, but I've not.
Oh yeah. It was pretty much out in the ocean the whole time. Mm. I think maybe, you know, North Carolina, like the Outer Banks saw higher waves and stuff like that. But I call it he because it was a he named Storm, but it was out in the ocean more. And I believe the eye went over Rhode Island. Hmm. And then it's going to kind of go in and then make a turn and go toward like Newfoundland and go up that way to the Maritimes. So yeah, and it might be slow moving too, so they might get a lot of rain in Canada.
You're all over this.
Oh, I was obsessed with weather when I was a child, so I watch all that stuff.
Did you want to be a meteorologist when you wanted to grow up?
I did. And I was one of those weirdo kids that I watched the news when I was 3 and 4, so I remember when Elvis died. I remember the Iran hostage stuff because I was about 4 and 5 when that was happening, because I constantly watched the news because I was obsessed with news and weather. Yeah.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. Huh. There you go. Yeah. I couldn't do that. Like that's a tough job because people don't remember when you're right 347 days a year. People remember when you're wrong and you're on their kid's birthday party.
Right.
It's a rough job.
Oh, yes, exactly. And it's actually kind of funny because I ended up going to a college where Al Roker attended. Mm-hmm. He was class of 1976 and he spoke at my commencement. So it kind of came full circle in a way that all my weather obsession, you know, for him to be there that day was kind of funny.
Wait, is Al Roker a meteorologist?
Yes.
Is that really what he does in that show?
Oh, yes. He actually is a meteorologist. I mean, they have him on now more because he's a personality.
Yeah.
But he was the local Channel 4 weather guy for a really long time.
Okay, don't judge me, but I did not know that. I just thought he was a personality on that show. I did not know that that was his actual thing.
That's what he went to school for. Yep.
Huh. Never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that. People
stick
are
with me. I'll tell you all this useless information.
No, this is important stuff. Like I did not know this. This is something I was not familiar with. What have you been watching? What have you been reading since last Sunday, Stacey?
Well, I don't read much. I skim things because my ADHD is it doesn't allow me to actually sit and read. I can watch videos on stuff, and I've done that. Like, you know, MLB puts up good content when things happen in baseball. So I kind of I gravitate toward that more than reading things.
Their YouTube page is good.
Yes.
They put up a lot of content, and they show a lot of the stuff you need to see. I agree. Very good stuff.
I actually wrote a video for them earlier this year.
There you go.
About spring training. I wrote the script for it.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? How was script writing for you?
Yeah, and why they have spring training. I learned some things. I knew some of the stuff, but I didn't know some of the really early stuff, and I thought that was really fascinating, and people in the comments thought that too. They thought, wow, I didn't know that about spring training, so
give me an example.
Well, one of the main reasons spring training started was one of the owners in the 1870s got mad that his players kept showing up fat and out of shape, so he dragged them down to the hot springs in Arkansas to detox them to get ready for the season. And that's basically how spring training started.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Did not know that. There you go.
It was 1876. If I remember correctly, I wrote this script way back in March, so it's kind of out of my brain a little bit. But yeah, there were some interesting things. You know, they moved Dodgers spring training to, they were in the Dominican Republic, and they were in Puerto Rico. Like, they were trying to get out of Florida because of the Jim Crow laws, because of Jackie Robinson, so they went to different places to avoid that. And yeah, it was some interesting stuff.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
But I like the whole idea of spring training being detox for out of shape. But, you know, think about it. In 1876, these guys weren't making money to play baseball. They had other jobs in the winter. So some of them were bartenders. Some of them did other things where they were eating and drinking all winter. So, of course, they were going to come in out of shape. But that's essentially how it started.
Well, so that's interesting because, I mean, you can to apply that to real, like to just normal citizen life. Me being a frequent gym goer and runner and exerciser, like I see this in January, you know, the New Year's resolution folks, but also the summer folks is what they don't talk about nearly as much. I see more of an uptick when it's like, oh, I'm going to the beach in 3 weeks. That's more of an uptick than in January when you're all bundled up and you're not as nervous about it. Cause everyone's pale and not happy about it and blah. Like that is, like I think it's overblown. Like I've always held the belief that as a gym person that I've never, I just think that it's overblown. Summer is where you really see the people trying to do way too much too soon. The people who are coming in there, and I marvel at what people come in like and just are trying to figure it all out. Like the amount of people I see working out in jeans when they're getting back into it is alarming. I've seen people walk on the treadmill in boots. What? This week I saw someone in jeans tucked in with running shoes and a tank top. And it was certainly a look. It was certainly a choice. And then you see the people bouncing around where they're just like, oh, what are they working on today? Cause like, if you're at the gym for 30 to 40 minutes, you'll notice some people and you're like, they've gone from legs back to shoulder, back to what are they doing? What are you doing? It's a fun thing. If you're
work out at home, I don't want anyone watching me. That's why I do Peloton at home.
How is Peloton?
Well, I have the app. I don't have the actual bike yet. I'm saving up for that, but I love it. I got up at 7:45 this morning on a Sunday to get my hour in before everyone else got up.
So it's addicting.
It is so addicting. And I used to make fun of everyone doing Peloton. Earlier this year, I made a TikTok making fun of people who had Peloton bikes in their houses. And now I'm like saving up for one.
Who's your favorite?
My favorite instructor? Ooh, I like a lot of the British instructors because they have the coolest playlists because I love the 80s and 90s stuff. and 70s stuff. Like, I listen to the older things. I don't listen. I don't do 2010 rides. I don't do modern pop rides, although I did do one and I noticed all the songs from TikTok. That's the only way I know modern music is from people using the songs on TikTok. So, but yeah, I would say Benjamin, Leanne, Bradley, and Sam Yo from England. I like Emma Lovewell, Ally Love, Toon Day. I like pretty much almost everyone. I've taken everyone's classes, and as long as they have a good playlist, I will be right in there doing it.
I just can't stop thinking about Always Sunny in Philadelphia when it comes to Pelotons and cycling classes. I always think about that scene with like Dennis and Dee when they're trying to get back in shape. This was, I guess, a long, long time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I believe so, yes.
That's all I think about with their playlist. And what was the, who did they love? Like, Dennis was always this like super fan of, it was an 80s guy, wasn't it? What is his name? Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. I cannot think of it off the top of my head. I haven't watched it in a while. I forgot who he was. It's not Neil Diamond, but it was somebody in the Neil Diamond family, I feel like, that he loved and that they would not let him play. And I forgot what it was. Well, I'll think about it as we get started. Stacey, I also think you just happen to be in a good mood because your team that you cover and are a fan of, the New York Yankees, have won 9 of 10. Things are good in New York. What's changed? What's working right now?
They're winning the games that they would have lost a month and a half ago. That's essentially it. Things are going right for them right now. The example I'll give you is the first game of the doubleheader against the Red Sox on Tuesday. Jonathan Loaisiga gets the bases loaded, no outs. They're only up 5-3. If that game happened a month ago, the Red Sox would have hit a grand slam. The Yankees would have lost that game by at least 4 runs. And he got the line out and then struck out 2 batters to end the game. The Red Sox didn't score in that inning at all, which was just shocking. But things are going well for them. They're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. You know, they're supposed to beat the Twins all the time. So they beat them 3 out of 3. Would have been 3 out of 4 today. I'm telling you right now, it would have been that way because the poor Twins just have no chance against them. You know, they did well against the White Sox, even losing that Field of Dreams game. Even if that was a month ago, things could have been different that series. But the Yankees in the past month and a half or month or so, they've been punched in the face repeatedly and then get right back up, win 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, and they just keep that cycle going. Now, the 9 in a row, or the, is it 9 in a row? No, yeah, it's 9 in a row now. That's kind of shocking. And I know the Braves are on a roll as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see them clash tomorrow. And then the Yankees also have another big series against the A's because the A's are 2.5 games now behind them in the wild card. That's a 4-game series that starts on Thursday out in Oakland. Yankees don't always have the best of luck playing out in Oakland. So this is going to be a test this next week. But I like where they are right now. 20 games above 500, which I saw someone put, you know, when they were 5 above, 10 above, 15 above, 20 above, and the 10, 15, and 20 have all happened within the last, like, 2 weeks. So, or 3 weeks. So it's all happened very quickly. And this was with Gerrit Cole out with COVID, Jordan Montgomery out with COVID, Domingo Germán not being around, Gleyber Torres being injured, Gio Urshela being injured, all the other guys getting COVID, you know, because in the beginning of, when was it? The end of July when Judge and Higashioka and all those guys had COVID too. So I don't know what's happening. It's like a complete reversal of fortune. People keep joking that it was the cat that showed up on the field because the Orioles have lost 18 in a row since that game. And the Yankees are 16-3.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So people are thinking the Orioles were cursed by the cat and the Yankees have been helped by the cat. So who knows?
So was their last loss the White Sox game?
Yes.
Okay. So Andrew Heaney has not pitched since that game.
Andrew Heaney pitched. He held the Red Sox to a run on 2 hits in 7 innings.
Ooh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that I admitted on my show I was wrong because I was expecting that game to be, I was expecting there to be like total, like crap on the mound, you know, like, you know, when someone lays a burger on the mound, I just was expecting that. And the fact that and someone said, oh, man, if the Red Sox can't beat Andrew Heaney, they're done for the year.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not beat Andrew Heaney? He gave up like 10 home runs against the White Sox. It was only like four, but still.
It felt like 10.
And of course, the one run he did give up was a solo home run to Xander Bogaerts in the first inning. Bogaerts kind of trolled the Yankees by doing their arm thing that they do. And then the Yankees beat their asses, which I thought was funny. It's like, you don't troll in the first inning, dum-dum. Learn that lesson. You can't trash talk and troll the other team in the first inning. You have to wait till the game is over.
People forget.
Let that be a lesson to everyone out there.
Two things in this Braves Yankee series. One, tomorrow night. I don't know if you're making the drive down to Atlanta for the weekend, for the Monday Tuesday experience here at Truist Park. But the first 15,000 through the doors tomorrow gets a Mike Soroka bobblehead.
Ooh,
kind of awkward though. It's been a rough year and a half for him now. It's kind of weird to do bobblehead nights for guys who are gone and out for the year. It's a little bit awkward.
Why wouldn't they? I don't know. Why
hold
wouldn't
that
they
off?
Postpone it.
Yeah, you can do somebody else. Like there's a lot of other. Max Fried's pitching right now. He's pitching great. He just had a complete game. Just change it up for Max Fried. I also like Max Fried. The cheapest ticket I'm seeing right now, $110.
Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be a hot ticket, and this is going to be a very, very, very well attended game. The game, I'm looking at a seat a couple rows behind home plate. It's going for $656.
Nice.
Directly behind home plate, $2,136.
And that's still probably $2,000 less than it would be at Yankee Stadium.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes those tickets are insanely expensive.
Mm.
It's crazy. Like, people will sell them on the it's ridiculous.
Hmm.
I sat in the Legend seats once, opening day of 2009, but...
How was that?
Well, it was amazing. I didn't get to go to the exhibition games because they had two exhibition games in early April of 2009, and then the Yankees opened on the road. You know, the Pope was there. It was like a whole thing. So the Yankees they didn't have their home opener till like April 16th of 2009. It was a crazy schedule. And on a whim, I bought a Legend seat for $625. I was right near third base, like fourth row in the cushy seats. One of the best baseball going experiences of my life. I was like, wow, I want to be rich just so I can sit in seats like this all the time. It was great. You know, they give you the menu. You can buy a jersey if you want to. They'll bring it out to you. Yeah, pick out whatever you want. We'll go pick it up for you in the store. It's like, okay.
What a life.
Yeah.
One of my friends back in Atlanta, my good friends, his company had just bonkers Atlanta Hawks seats. They were floor seats, like literally right behind the visitor bench. Like when I say behind, I'm saying I am on TV the entirety of this game with said friend, and heard everything. It was remarkable, and I sat there a couple times with him, and it was just baffling. Like the buffet section that you go into, and all just everyone around you. You could just like, it's a weird thing until you can't explain it to somebody who hasn't been around it. Where you're like, the amount of wealth around me is preposterous. Where it's just, it's a different world. It's a different feeling. It's a different vibe. It's really hard to explain.
Well,
but
my first experience at a suite was out in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
I was a friend's plus one on a business trip, and she went out there. She was a media buyer, and she was the guest of a TV station, one of the TV stations that covered has the Angels, or had, because this was like 17 years ago.
Yeah.
You know when you watch Angels games and you see a guy standing behind home plate in the dugout suite with his arms crossed? You see him all the time. That's Scott Boras. That's his suite behind home plate in Anaheim. That's his law firm's suite. KCAL suite, which is the station that we right next to Scott Boras. So we were hanging out with Scott Boras. And this was 2004. And my friend Julie's like, oh my God, we have to thank him for A-Rod. I said, you can do that. I'm not talking to him, but you can do that if you want to. But we were sitting there in the sixth inning. All of a sudden we hear, the dessert cart is here. And my friend goes, the what? The what?
Mm-hmm.
We walk outside. There's a dessert cart that's maybe 6 to 8 feet long with everything you could possibly think of to put in your face. Cakes, brownies, chocolate shot glasses.
Mm.
I put Bailey's in a chocolate shot cup, did a shot of Bailey's, ate the chocolate, then had brownies, cookies, they had cheesecake, they had ice cream. It was ludicrous. They had that candy, that the dots that come on the paper.
Everlasting like, Gobstoppers. Is this just Willy Wonka's chocolate factory over
like,
here?
It was like Willy Wonka was wheeling this, and I'm like, this is how rich people live. This is the most amazing thing ever. I want to live like this. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I don't want any of that. I would just overindulge. Like, that would just be like you, just, it would not go well. It would not go well.
I was like, I'm on vacation. I'm going to eat three pieces of cake. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the Beverly Hills Hotel the next morning because, the station gave us free spa treatments.
Ooh.
I was her guest. Like, I wasn't anyone. And they were like, they didn't let me pay for anything. They didn't even let me pay for sunscreen at the hotel store. They were like, no, we got it. I'm like, it's sunscreen. No, we got it. I'm like, wow, I need to marry someone who's rich because this is just, or marry someone who's in the business like this so I can get free stuff all the time.
Yeah.
It really is a different existence, though.
That's really how you know you make it. When you get the two will know, Stacey, with our podcasting stuff is like when we get a lot of free swag sent to us. Like just all kinds of random free swag.
Yeah, I get protein bars all the time from one of our sponsors on Locked On.
There you go.
and they're actually really good. So every time I do an ad for them, I'm just like, no, I'm not lying to you. Mm-hmm. I actually eat these things.
That's always good. That's like how the ad should be. Stuff that you like. And like Bombas. Like if they ever sponsor this one, Bombas is legit. They're great. Bombas socks are incredible. They're the best socks. It's not even close. Like they're so cozy. So cozy. Love me some Bombas socks. You just got to find the right company. I actually did a project on them for graduate school last fall, group project on them. So very familiar with that company.
You get to see Heaney on Tuesday.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Who's tomorrow?
Jordan Montgomery.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
So we don't get Garrett Cole.
It'll be his second start since coming back from COVID. So we'll see how he does. Because he was okay in his first start. He started off really well and then he kind of fell apart. So we'll see how that goes.
I'm excited. Yankees Braves. What could go wrong? Leave the memories alone. The 90s were great to the Yankees Braves series for me. It was nothing wrong. It was all great. The Padres. No longer, Stacey, a shoe-in to get that last wild card spot. Like all year, we've just penciled in. The Pods, the Dodgers, and the Giants, like, they are getting three. If you don't win the NL Central, you don't win the NL East, you're not making the playoffs. That is no longer the case. The devil magic in St. Louis might be cooking a little bit. I don't want any part of the Cardinals in a one-game playoff. Like, that is, if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers, you're like, no. We refuse. Like, I don't want any part of this. But then again, I'm like, I want the Reds over the Padres just because the Padres are just getting destroyed by injuries. And this rotation has just been decimated that like, I don't know, part of me kind of, because I don't really, like, who's going to be their starter in the wildcard game? Musgrove? Like, I don't.
Jake Arrieta.
Oh, God. Like, I don't want that.
They actually willingly got him.
Is Sonny Gray the Reds wildcard spot? Is that who pitches for them?
He might be. He might be.
Yeah, Scherzer versus Sonny Gray or Joe Musgrove or Jake Arrieta. I don't know. I don't know. But what do you make of the Padres no longer? If the playoff, like, let's put it this way. The playoffs started today, Stacey. They're not in. The Reds have that second wild card spot.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I really was afraid they were going to be no hit again last night. They were very close to having that happen again. And especially having a kid making his debut and on the Diamondbacks, no hitting against you, while the pitcher who threw your no hitter was the it's such an odd season for the Padres, you know, and they have to throw Tatis out in the outfield because of his shoulder, and they're kind of like, all right, go out there, have fun. Just things are falling apart for them. It's almost like what's happening with Boston. You know, Boston seemed like a shoe-in for at least one of the wild card spots if they didn't stay in second place, or if they didn't stay in first place in the AL East. And they're just rolling down the hill. And it's kind of the same thing with the Padres.
You're really enjoying this.
The Red Sox line. Oh, yes. I predicted it.
Mm-hmm.
I predicted that, and I predicted the Yankees were not as bad as they played in the first half, and that everyone needed to calm down, and that things would turn around, and that they would look like the team you expected them to be when the season began. And as usual, I was right. Now, things could totally go to hell in a handbasket, but their remaining schedule, they're playing Baltimore a lot. They have the makeup game against the Twins. This is September. So their schedule is kind of okay. We'll see what happens, but things are working out the way I thought they would.
And to the Reds' point, like, I think you and I have talked about this, where, like, I was very happy the Reds did not sell their pieces at the deadline. But the Reds were like, hey, we've got a shot. The Reds were like, we're not tearing down. We're not doing any of this. Like, we have two all-star outfielders. We're going to see what happens. Like, yeah,
Joey
we might
Votto
not catch the Brewers.
Keeps hitting home runs.
Yeah. Like, they even had Castellanos. Like, this, like, Jonathan India's fun. Like, they're, I mean, I don't want the Cardinals just because they're the Cardinals in a one-game playoff. But, like, the Reds, they have a good offensive outing. Like, the Dodgers, they could be in some trouble. Like, that's not another team. You don't want to play them
wouldn't
either.
But wouldn't that be amazing if it's the Dodgers-Reds in a wild card game and the Dodgers throw out Max Scherzer and they lose?
Yeah.
That would be amazing. I mean, no offense to my Dodgers friends. If you're listening to this, I apologize. But it just would be, just for baseball.
Well, they also just won the title. It's okay.
Right. Yeah.
I don't feel bad for the
Dodgers. After 30-something years, 33? Oh, 32? So, all right, there you go.
Yeah, and you've been three straight times. Like, it's fine. Like, if the Dodgers go down in the wild card game, like, that's fine. I'm not feeling any sort of sympathy towards the Los Angeles Dodgers. Things are good there, and I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. Speaking of the Cardinals, looks like Yadier Molina is inching towards an extension with the club. What do you make of this deal? And is Yadier Molina just going to be the catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals for the rest of our lives?
His life?
Yeah.
I actually had to look up how old he was because in my head he's 45, but he's only 39.
Mm-hmm. Only.
I know. Well, in real life, only 39. In baseball.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. 39. In baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if he's still, I don't know. I feel like there is something to having a guy who has the experience, who's been around the block, you know what I mean? And he's gone through all this stuff and staying on the team and helping guys who may not have experienced some stuff. Like, I feel like there is some, I don't know. I think that actually does help some teams to have a veteran like that around for the younger guys. And I don't mind that move at all. I don't think he's a detriment to the team at this point. I mean, if he was, I would hope they'd say, okay, thank you for everything you did, but bye-bye. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's a lifer. That man is just going to be there forever. He's probably getting a statue, right? Like, Molina, is he getting a statue outside of St. Louis? He's got to.
I hope the statue is of him with the ball sticking to his chest protector, because that would be epic.
It's possible.
Because that was amazing. The fact that they didn't do anything about the sticky stuff when that happened. Oh, it was magic. There's nothing on that ball. It just stuck there, you know.
Something tells me that's not what they'll do. Something tells me, Stacey. Well, we're going to pause real quick for an ad break, but we'll be right back. All right, we're back as the Sunday Night Baseball edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast rolls along, where I'm still joined by Locked On Yankees' Stacey Gatsoulias. Stacey, Francisco Lindor got called out by Mets ownership. Steve Cohen, a very online owner, publicly criticizing the team. I think it's weird because he's on the older side and he's new, he's excited. He's more front facing than a lot of guys. He kind of has a lot of Mark Cuban to him. It feels like, I don't like this. Like, it was already weird because remember those reports, like he was dining with people and like going out and trying to like, it was weird where it's like, yeah, things are good. He's taking us out. He wanted to show them that he's more than just the guy signing their checks, but it's like, that's not how being a boss works. You're still ultimately the guy signing my checks. Like, there's right. no way to move that part of it away and just treat you like one of the guys. Like, that was always a weird thing where it just, oh, this is a recipe for disaster. That's not how this should work. That kind of blurring of the lines can't end well. But Lindor is reportedly okay. Something tells me he's okay with it because he just signed an extremely long contract for this person. So him saying, yeah, I'm not okay with it, would not go well for the person who just signed a very large extension with the team and probably made some promises to ownership in the group that he would do great and he backed the team and all this stuff. But I don't know. What do you make of the Lindor situation in New York? Because I feel bad for him.
I do. I expected there to be an adjustment period. I just didn't expect it to be this long because you always saw it when guys came over to the Yankees signing huge contracts. Like, you know, you saw it with Jason Giambi, saw it with A-Rod. You saw it with Sherrod didn't really start off that slow, and neither did CeCe. But there were some guys that kind of felt the pressure to be the guy, and I feel like in a way he did, Lindor. And I think he comes back next year totally different player, or back to himself. I feel like this just might be kind of a lost year for him. And, you know, once he gets that 1 year of being a New York Met under his belt, he'll be fine. I just don't like the whole, oh God, I sometimes think of what the world would have been like if George Steinbrenner were on Twitter. Like,
yeah.
if something like Twitter existed when Steinbrenner was still alive, still coherent, and still doing crazy things for the Yankees, it would have been a nightmare.
Yeah, that's true. I just think the new age of ownership, I think they're just going to want to be more and more involved. I don't know. We'll see. I just feel bad. The season from hell for the New York Mets. I don't feel bad about that, but I do feel bad for Lindor. The Rangers, in a surprising move, part ways with their assistant GM, Shiraz. Raymond, what do you make of this? Because the Rangers, John Daniels, I don't know, because I guess he was so successful early on in his tenure, and I still think he's the youngest person to ever get a general manager job in Major League Baseball. He might, I don't know if that's changed, if anyone's younger has passed him, but I remember at the time he was, he was a whiz guy, and he was obviously very successful early on. But the Rangers have been bad for a very long time now, and they have not made their way out of the cellar. A lot of stuff does not work. They have not developed well. The only thing they do well now is develop veteran pitchers to flip them for Colby Allreds of the world later. Like, that is their thing. They're just like this retirement community where they get people back on their feet and then ship them back out. The Lance Lynns, the Mike Miners, the Kyle Gibsons. That's just what they are now.
Right.
But... Right. It's just weird. It's kind of like the assistant GM now gone, but like, why does John Daniels not get more heat? I don't understand that really.
Well, it seems that John Daniels moved up to baseball, president of baseball operations.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Young was brought in as general manager. And that was basically like the indication that... Because you would think the assistant GM would move up into that position, and they brought in Davis instead of... So, I mean, I don't blame Raymond for leaving. You know, I think that was pretty much the final nail in the coffin for him.
Yeah, and the writing was in the wall at that point.
Yeah, I think... Yeah. I always kind of... I find it kind of strange when people don't stick it out for the entire season. I know the Rangers are bad, and I know things aren't going well for them. But I always find it strange that, you know, if he didn't leave when that first happened, why not just stick it out to the end of the season?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Levi Weaver.
Yes. Friend of the pod. Been on this podcast. Yeah.
Ah, yeah. I love him. That the Rangers have met with Kyle Boddy from Driveline. About a position in the Rangers organization. Right now, he's the director of pitching for the Reds. Let's go back to the Reds. So that will be an interesting thing to see if they can swipe Boddy from the Reds and bring him over to the Rangers and try to just completely change everything and do an overhaul and fix things. because it's a shame that the Rangers, you know, because there was a while there that they were good, and then they just really fell off.
It's just bad. Like, there's no path. Their farm system's not good. Like, the Rangers are going to be bad for a while, and we've just kind of accepted. Like, I don't know. It just seems like they're kind of helpless, and no one seems to really care that they're kind of helpless. Speaking of helpless, Stacey, MLB, they leaked a proposal on Thursday of this past week that would set a salary floor because the collective bargaining agreement expires on, I believe, December 1st this year. So there, with their adjustments, there'd be a salary floor of $100 million instituted, and then a soft salary cap that would be lowered to $180 million. What do you make of this proposal from Major League Baseball?
I like the floor. I don't like the cap. I think there should be a floor. I think a lot of these guys are getting away with not spending money on their teams, and it drives me crazy to see teams that have like $30 million payrolls. Like, if I were a fan of a team like that, I'd be pissed. You know, teams that tank, teams that try to do what Houston did. You can't do what Houston did. Like, things worked out for Houston, you know, they made the right draft picks, but draft picks are very, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, really. I mean, you could get what may be the best player in the draft, and then he doesn't amount to anything, you know? And I feel like a lot of these teams are trying to emulate other teams that have not spent money and have spent 5 years being absolute dog crap and torturing their fans with not playing well, the Pirates. You know, I don't like the cap. I think teams should spend as much as they want. If they go over the luxury tax, then tax them. Make them pay whatever they need to pay. But I don't think these guys should get away with not paying anything. And I like the idea of the floor.
Yeah. I just wonder, because this is something that's interesting about baseball. When people are, they talk about like, oh, we need the baseball way of doing things. Like, it's interesting to talk to fans who are like, you know how everything is just kind of, everything's a niche now. Like, everyone who likes the NBA, it seems like, just watch the NBA, keep up with the NBA. And people who watch the NFL, it's like they only keep up with the NFL. So it's funny when I read stuff and I talk to people about this, because as someone who like ingests everything and watches everything and enjoys everything, like, I find it fascinating when people talk about the Major League Baseball just being like this mecca of player empowerment and doing the right thing and all this stuff, and then no salary cap. And I'm like, they don't have a salary cap, but they have a salary cap. The luxury tax is still a thing, and there's still there's still some restrictions there. But also, like, what you're seeing is you can't force these teams to spend this money, and Major League Baseball is probably less player friendly than these other leagues because they're not paying veterans. Like, they learned a long time ago. Like, NBA and the NFL has figured this out now, but Major League Baseball was an early adopter of like, yeah, we're gonna stop paying Walt Weiss $12 million to be average. We're just gonna get someone who's slightly below average out of AAA to do basically 75% of what they did. Like, that is something the league just became accustomed to and just preferred doing. And now you're seeing that in the NBA, which some G League guys were like, do we really want to give a 3-year deal with a lot of money to an okay veteran who doesn't really move the needle for us? Or do we want to just save that money, have some cap space, because, you know, cap space, and then just play a lot of young guys who are slightly worse? Like, that is something a lot of leagues have figured out, but it's just funny to me when people talk about baseball as like the ultimate, where you can make as much money as you want and salaries are amazing. And I'm like, well, for a select few, but it's still really bad for average to slightly above average veterans. Like, have you all watched the Mike Moustakas stuff over the last 5 years? Like, there's so many examples of this where it's like, no, it's actually still pretty bad for a lot of guys.
Yeah. It's funny that you brought up Walt Weiss, because he's from where I live in New York.
Really? Well, I just, maybe I had the Rays in mind, but I'm just thinking about like those average guys who just like people, Chuck Knobloch, whoever, like you can just look at up and down the list of those people that just get overlooked because they're not superstars. So teams are like, are we sure we can't get like a AAA guy to replicate 80% of that for far cheaper?
Yeah. I feel like there's going to be a lockout. I feel like,
yeah,
there was a lot of contention between the players and the owners, especially last year with all the COVID stuff and trying to figure out how to play the season and things that are happening. And I don't know. I feel like this might be bad. I feel like there might be a work stoppage.
Oh yeah, like I agree with you.
I hope not, but I really do. And I think when David Cohen was on my show, I think he thought the same thing, where he was like, yeah, it might be a little contentious. This might be a rough one.
Well, it's just, we have a recency bias, right? Like, we just forgot how ugly it got last year. Like, it was ugly.
It
ugly.
Was. Yeah.
I don't think people have forgotten behind the scenes. I just think they're like, we're playing baseball now. We'll get to the ugliness when the season concludes. Like, I think we're heading towards that. I agree.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. I can see it now. So, like, someone on Twitter was joking about, he was a Yankee fan. He's like, well, the Yankees better win before the lockout of 2022. It's like, oh no.
Well, I think
no.
What I think we should do is really put our trust in Rob Manfred. I don't see a way that this does not go well. I think
I was making fun of him earlier because he was at the Little League World Series, and I'm like, does this guy actually work, or is he always on TV at some, you know, photo op? I mean, I get it because it was the game that ESPN had today, and that was cool. Did you see the uniforms that the Angels and the Indians wore?
I did not.
They were like Little Leaguers. It said Great Lakes and West.
Mm.
Like, those were their uniforms. And that was kind of fun to see. And, you know, all the Little Leaguers, their families, they were in the crowd watching the game. And the Indians and the Angels were at the games earlier in the day and interacting with the kids and doing some fun things. And that's always a fun thing. You know, there was a lot of stuff that was missed last year, and seeing it back, not to its full form, because it wasn't like they had regular fans in the stands, but getting closer to normal is nice to see. But again, as we just said, you know, next year has the chance to be the first really normal season in 2 years, and it might not start on time.
Yeah.
That's a scary proposition.
Stacy, the last thing we'll touch on before we wrap up here, your favorite story in baseball over the last week was what?
I'm going to say it's a Yankee thing, because Andrew Velasquez has come up and played in place of Gleyber Torres. He's a local Bronx boy. He's been playing, staying with his parents while he was home on the homestand, and he finally hit his first home run in Saturday's game. They showed his family on TV. They were crying. And of course, because I'm emotional and saw that, I was like, that's the cutest thing ever. And, you know, I don't think he's long for the Yankees. They might find a way to keep him on the team. But Glaber's on his way back. Gio's on his way back. But for right now, that was a fun story. And just the fact that he was staying with his parents in the Bronx and commuting from the Bronx, because he's like, I'm not staying in Manhattan. He actually said, I'm not staying in Manhattan. It's too expensive. So I love that. Like, the local boy does good. Like, that, I love that kind of story. And I also feel like, I think I've spoken about this, I feel like baseball is one of those sports where this is, like, you can get romantic about baseball. And this is the kind of story that makes you romantic about baseball. Bronx kid makes the team in the Bronx and does well during his time that they give him this chance to play. And I just think that's the coolest thing.
There you go. I like that. I like that. All right, Stacy. Well, what can we check out from you across Locked On Yankees and anywhere else this week?
Well, I made the jump to YouTube. I did okay. Getting used to it, though. It's a little difficult. I don't like watching myself, but I kind of have to make sure that I'm looking at things correctly. But yeah, if you want to subscribe to Locked On Yankees on YouTube, I'm up to 76 subscribers. If I can get to 100 by Thursday's my birthday, I'll be very happy. So if people can do that for me, I would love that.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
are you doing anything special?
I'm 3 years away from the big one. So
the big 30.
Yeah. I wish. Yeah, I'm 3 years away from the big 5-0, which is really frightening. But 47. How did that happen? Oh, my God.
Do you feel 47?
Physically, sometimes.
Okay.
Mentally, God, no. No. Yeah. Mentally, I still feel like I'm about 22. So
that never changes, does it?
No. It's very strange because I was, like I said, I watched the news when I was a kid, and I was very adult-like when I was a kid because I had older cousins, and I always wanted to be older when I was a kid, and now I feel like I'm regressing as an adult.
Are you a birthday cake person?
Yes, but I'm an ice cream birthday cake person because I'm a summer baby and I don't want to be sweating while I'm eating cake. And we're getting a heat wave this week. And of course, Thursday is supposed to be the hottest day. So I'm not happy about that, but we'll see what happens.
Ice cream cake. So what does that entail? I've never had an ice cream cake, I don't think.
There's an ice cream place up here. I'm not sure if it's anywhere else, called Carvel. It has vanilla on top, chocolate crunchy things in the middle, and then chocolate on the bottom.
Okay. So is there an actual cake here, or is the cake in the middle of this? Like, how does this
work? No, it's just called an ice cream cake, but it's all ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
There you go. So it's just, it's all fake advertising. It's false advertising here. There's no cake involved.
Right. It's ice cream shaped like a cake. That's basically what it is. It's so good, though. Yeah, it's and Carvel has these you know, ice cream sandwiches, the chocolate wafer. Well, they have saucers, so they're round, and they have them in vanilla, chocolate, or swirl. Those are really good, and they're oversized, so if you get like a pack of those too, I'd be a happy person if I got the ice cream cake and the saucers for my birthday after doing you know, an hour and a half of Peloton. Then I would feel okay doing it.
Does your family listen to this podcast? Do they listen to your appearances on Sunday nights?
They do not, but they know that I love... My mom usually gets me Carvel cake. It's funny. And she'll put, like, one year she put Hello Kitty on there. I think my 36th birthday. I'm like, Ma, it looks like a 6-year-old's cake. What are you doing?
I was never a cake person growing up. I remember one year my parents got me a key lime pie and put some candles on it because I love key lime pie. And I don't know. I've never been a big cake person. Never been a big
ice pie person, not a cake person.
Yeah, I like pies. Like, I like I think it's just the bakery. I don't know what it is. Like, I like muffins. I like I don't know. There's just, I'm not really much of a sweet person, but I like the actual crust, I guess. I don't know. I like pecan pies. I like strawberry. I like a lot of, basically what I'm getting at is I like pie over cake for sure.
Yeah, you ever see that debate on Twitter? That's ugly. It's almost as ugly as the hot dog a sandwich debate on Twitter a few years back.
Here's the thing, Stacey. I avoided all this a long time ago. I used Twitter for promotion and sending my stuff out, and then I log off.
You're so much better than me. I can't. I feel like if I'm off for 2 hours and I just miss too much.
That's the plan. That's what I want. I want to miss stuff. I want to be out of the loop. I want to not know what is going on. I like being out of the loop. I also just don't know how people do their stuff. Like, I see so many people who just the tweeting, and I'm like, how do you get anything done during the day? Like, I don't.
Oh, no, we don't. We don't.
Well, that explains that.
Yeah. I mean, there was one day I took 2 hours off from Twitter, and then I found out half the Yankees had COVID, and I thought, oh God, why did I leave Twitter?
This is what happens. Stacey Gotzulias, we can follow you on Twitter at StaceGotz.
Yes.
Listen to you on Locked On Yankees every day. Go subscribe on YouTube for her birthday. It would be so nice, and it's just the right thing to do. So go do that. Even if you're not a Yankees fan, go throw her a sub on YouTube. Stacey, thank you so much. Happy early birthday, and I will talk to you next week.
Okay.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.